The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Brother Josue, why don't you come now, and we want to say welcome again to Mount Greylock Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here again. And the opportunity to speak with you a little bit about our ministry. My wife Rebecca and I are missionaries to Mexico City. We have two children. One made it in the video. The other one was not still completely done to be in the video. So you'll see just a little bump instead. But you can meet him personally. He is in the nursery and will be in the back. And he is the cutest baby I've ever seen in my life. And I sound biased on that one, but he is a cutie. We have a three-year-old and then a one-year-old. And we are definitely blessed. We are on our way to Mexico City. We've been traveling for about now 14 months. We are 72% of our support, what we need, and we are anticipated to be in Mexico City sometime next year, perhaps spring or summer, depending on how churches go on and so forth. But we trust that it will be next year for sure. So pray for us. When we go there, we'll be just focused on one thing and one thing alone: church planting. And to do that, we want to focus our efforts in the preparation of national church planters. I grew up in Mexico City, and I saw missionaries going there and planting churches. And then after 15, 16 years of being planting the church, really the transition to a national and the missionary, you know, gets it's hard. And at times I saw it, works just totally disappear because of that hard transition. So we want to emphasize the preparation of the national planters. What I can do in 15 years will be limited compared to what I, along with four or five men, can do in 15 years working together in Mexico City. So pray for us, please. We have in the back of our table prayer cards, and in the back we have our website, and please go ahead and check our website. We just totally revamped it, and I think it was a good thing, and we are pleased with the results. Visit that, and you can see this video and a few other videos there and resources that we have for you. And then we also have a notebook where you can write your email address if you would like to receive our monthly newsletter, and we will not sell your email to advertisers. So don't worry about that. You can just feel free to write your email there. Thank you very much. We'll show the video at this point. Thank you so much for having us, for the accommodations, Pastor, and the invitation to be here. Thank you.
About 5 years ago, we met a family, Eduardo Lázaro. We call him Lalo and his wife. Beautiful family, sweet people. And we definitely saw a desire for them to know more about Christ. And it was through Bible lessons and Bible studies that they came to the knowledge of Christ as their Savior. And just a few months ago, I had the opportunity to go to Mexico, spend some time with him and the other members of the congregation. And I just set him apart, and we were talking about things in his life, his personal spiritual growth. So I looked at him and I said, Lalo, would you consider becoming a pastor one day?
Para largo plazo, ¿tienes alguna visión de algún día poder servir como pastor o algo que Dios te ponga en el ministerio?
He looked at me and he said, absolutely. I want to one day be a pastor. I want to one day serve Christ in the ministry.
Quiero seguir aprendiendo para un día ir y compartir a ellos lo que Dios que ha hecho en nuestras vidas.
The only one thing he said is, I don't have anybody to come and train us, and I don't have anyone to come and show me how to be a pastor and what do I need to do. At that point, I realized that God was not only calling me to plant churches in Mexico City, but sharing my ability to teach others and train others to do what I'm doing. I grew up in Mexico City. I was saved when I was 12 years old in a youth camp in Veracruz, Mexico. And just to think that I'm going to have the privilege to plant churches there and share the gospel to my own people, I'm just very excited about that.
I was saved when I was 12 years old at Grace Baptist Church in West Columbia, South Carolina. Through several missions, conferences, and missions trips that I had the privilege to take, the Lord really burdened my heart for missions, especially to the Spanish-speaking people. I'm very excited to see how the Lord will use our family in Mexico City.
Una, dos, tres.
Una,
dos, y.
My wife, Rebecca, and I have been blessed with two children, Natanya and Santiago. I hope that my kids one day want to serve Christ because of their experience in being with us as we're in the ministry also. And I hope that they can be totally excited and happy, and that they can see in their parents a true Christian life so that they can also want to do that one day.
We invited Paul, Silas, and Timothy to stay in your home.
My wife and I have been serving at Pensacola Baptist Temple. For the last 3 years, we've been teaching the primary Sunday school class. It's been a blessing to see the kids grow spiritually, physically.
Good. 2 Peter, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. Welcome to Pensacola Baptist Temple, this very special Sunday morning.
I also have the privilege to be the music director at Pensacola Baptist Temple. I am in charge of the choir, the congregational singing, and it's been a blessing to be part of the ministry team. Working in this ministry has prepared us to go and serve in Mexico City. Mexico City is a beautiful place. It's a gorgeous place. It's beautiful palaces, beautiful structures. And it's a great place. It's very crowded. We have about 21 million people in Mexico City. It's a humongous city. It's a very religious society. They are traditionally Catholic, and they will not let that tradition go easily. Mexico, it's very family oriented, and that helps usually, because when you reach one family, usually you can enter in other parts of the family to uncles and relatives. And so that is definitely a good opportunity for us as missionaries when we go. My wife and I are going to Mexico to plant churches. That's our main focus. And as we do that, we want to establish seminaries and Bible institutes so they can be fully trained. So we want to train them, we want to prepare them, we want to take them with us as we are planting churches, and then turn the churches over to them so they can do the same. As we plan churches, we will use two main aspects to help our evangelism efforts. One of them is Christian education, and we will base that on only two subjects, English and music. Mexicans are eager to learn English. And if we can use this subject as a means to evangelism, the kids, and eventually their families, it's going to be very successful. We know that. And then music, there's not that much desire in Mexico to send your kids to music lessons because it's very expensive. So we know that if we can offer music lessons for free, we know that it's going to be extremely successful and a great way to reach kids and their families as well. I often say this, I do not seek for financial support, I long for ministry partnership, because financial support will help meet our basic needs, but ministry partnership is critical for ministry success. And so we are seeking for churches, we are longing for churches that are willing to become involved in our ministry, constantly encouraging their members to visit our ministry, reminding their young people to think about our ministry, to consider the opportunity to go there. We're looking for churches that have a desire and passion for souls, that they rejoice with us when we tell them that someone got saved. We're looking for those kind of churches that partner with us, and we work for the same goal. Not only a check every month, not only a prayer letter that we send, but a ministry partnership that is essential for success. I know the vision is challenging, but the command has been given. So for the sake of the gospel, will you partner with us as we plant the seed in Mexico?
His name to every nation is glory proclaim. Pray that the Spirit wise will open darkened eyes, granting new life to display Jesus' fame. Love the unloved for the sake of His name. Like Christ, befriend those whose heads hang in shame. Jesus did not condemn, but was condemned for them. Trust gospel power, for we once were the same. In Jesus' name. Jesus' power, preach Christ to the lost. For Jesus' glory, count all else but loss. Gather from every place trophies of sovereign grace. Lest life be wasted, exalt Jesus' cross. Look to the throne for the sake of his name. Think of the throng who will share in his reign. Some for whose souls we pray will share our joy that day, joining our song for the sake of his name. In Jesus' power, preach Christ to the lost. For Jesus' glory, count all else but loss. Gather from every place trophies of sovereign grace. Lest life be wasted, exalt Jesus' cross. Lest life be wasted, exalt Jesus' cross.
Well, thank you. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 4, please. These next several weeks, I'll be taking a break from the series on David. I've got 4 or 5 messages left with regards to the life of David, a man after God's own heart. But I do want to take the next couple of weeks and just zero in on Faith Promise missions. And I always enjoy missions emphasis month. I hope you do too. Amen. I mean, just to hear from our veteran missionaries, to be able to have new missionaries come through that are looking for support and see the burden that God has placed upon their heart to go to the various missions places around the world. And 21 million people in Mexico City. What a challenge. A missionary could go every week for years to come, and still there wouldn't be enough missionaries in Mexico City to go around. I mean, it's just a daunting task to preach the gospel there. But God calls men and women to go, and they go by faith, and they go based on the promises of God. And that's really what I want to preach to you on this morning out of Romans chapter number 4. So, follow along with me, if you will, please. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. And as I get down to verses 13 and 14, down to through verses 21, I want you to notice how many times you see the word faith and how many times you also see the word promise. So follow along as I begin to read, and then we'll have a word of prayer. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness which is of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you'd help me preach the message this morning. I pray that you'd help us understand and see the truths that have been laid out for us here in your word. And I pray that you would bring confirmation to these truths to our hearts. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in and amongst us this morning. Teach us and guide us and direct us. Truly, if there be one here today that is without Christ, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd bring conviction to their heart and conversion to their soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you find it? You've been struggling to find that there, and I felt so bad for you, so I'm going to help you so you can follow along. There you go. You're welcome. Look on your handout, if you would, this morning. This morning's message is as much instructional as it is anything else, because it is Faith Promise Missions Month, and it is the emphasis has been on missions and will continue. In fact, the emphasis of this church since the very founding days has always been the emphasis has been on missions and getting the gospel into the world, whether it's here in our Jerusalem or to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. But Faith Promise Missions, and I know many of you have been involved in Faith Promise Missions for years, but maybe some here have not. Faith Promise Missions is a plan for systematic, purposeful giving above the tithe to the missionary ministry of the local church. And really, churches all over the world practice faith, promise, missions, giving to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. And so churches that practice faith, promise, missions, the commitment is generally for 1 year. And in a missions conference or a missions emphasis month like we do here, it's renewed year by year. And so we look to the coming year, 2015, with regards to our missionaries and our support of our missionaries. We currently support 42 missionaries at $60 per month. And we'd like to see that raised back to where it was, to $75 per month. And so Faith Promise Missions, as I've preached to you before and we've emphasized these last several weeks, it is allowing God to get a hold of our hearts. It's allowing God to burden us with regards to giving to missions. And it is true that God has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? But it goes beyond even the command of God. It is a compassion upon our hearts to see the gospel to go into all the world. So I think it's really a twofold. And that's really another mission or another message for another time. It's both the command of God and the compassion of God to reach a lost and dying world. And so I ask you to be praying as a church about what is it that God, what part does God want you to have personally with regards to seeing the gospel go into all the world? And since I have been the pastor, I've never set a goal. I've never, with regards to a financial goal, a monetary goal. My goal every year has always been, if you as a church, if you as a group of believers will spend time with the Lord, and if you will pray, and if you will ask God to speak to your heart with regards to what part God would have you to have with regards to missions, and I'll never know, but if we had 100% participation in people praying about and asking God to speak to their heart about missions, that would be great. Amen? But that's Faith Promise Missions. So I want to take this chapter, and of course the beginning verses of this chapter really, and much of the chapter, deal with the salvation of the believer. Look again in verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham, verse 2, were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Let me just stop there real quick. So we understand as believers that with regards to salvation, that none of us are saved by our works. Amen? If we could be saved by works, if we could be saved by doing enough to earn our salvation, by being religious enough, then in a very real way, we could go to God and we could say, God, you owe us. But God owes us nothing. Amen? We are debtors to Jesus Christ. We heard Jerry Collins preach on that several weeks ago, and he did a great job with that. We are in debt to Jesus Christ. So Paul reminds us of that. For if Abraham were justified by works, it says, he hath whereof to glory. In other words, he could glory. But we know that the Scriptures say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We glory in Jesus. Amen? So we're mindful of that. But then you notice verse 3. For what saith the Scriptures? That's the most important thing, amen? What saith the Scriptures? What does the Bible say? Everything rises and falls on what does the Bible say? Whether we're talking about the most important decision a person can make, receiving Christ as their Savior, or whether we're talking about sending the gospel throughout the world, everything that we do in life, everything that we say, everything as a body of believers, it must be found or grounded upon or modeled in the Scriptures. What does the Word of God say? That's why, as Ashley was trying to find this in her Bible, that's why it was important for me to just step down and be able to open the Bible so she could see for herself. What saith the Scriptures? What does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say? So I want you to understand this with regards to faith promise. It is scriptural. Faith promise is found all throughout the Word of God. All throughout the Scriptures. Let's just read on a little bit farther here. So Paul says in verse 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Listen, our missionary friends this morning, the Ortiz family, they're going to a place where millions of people are counting on their religious works to get them to heaven. But what saith the Scriptures? The exact opposite of that. The Scriptures teach us that that salvation is not by works, but it's by faith. He goes on in verse 6. This is all by way of introduction. And the Scriptures bring us back to the psalmist. Psalm 32 says this, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." Listen, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, sin was imputed to the entire human race. But by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, salvation is imputed unto all who believe. Amen? Okay? So verse 8, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision only also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness." So he just asks the question, is it just for the Jew or is it for the Gentile? That's what it means there, by uncircumcision versus the circumcision. No, it's for all. "How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, Abraham believed God before he followed the command of God to be circumcised. We could say this, before anyone can be scripturally baptized, they must put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In fact, as we read on, we'll see Abraham believed God before the law, or the Ten Commandments, or all the commandments were ever given. He believed God. The commandments weren't given until after that, till the days of Moses. And so, and again, I'm kind of rushing through this to get to what I want to preach you. So the idea is this, that, you know, sometimes you hear people say, well, how do you get to heaven? Well, if I live a good life and I keep the Ten Commandments. No, Abraham believed God before the commandments were ever given. Verse 11, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might, by the Father of them all that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness may be imputed unto them also. And the Father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only." And so again, the idea, of course, that Abraham is the father of our faith. Why? Because Abraham stepped out by faith, and he believed God. When any person, any boy, any girl, any mom, any dad, any adult, when they understand that they're a sinner, when they understand that Jesus died and paid for their sin, when they've placed their faith and trust in Him, they have believed God. And then for you and I as believers, the first step then of obedience is to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. The Ortiz are going to a place where millions and millions of people are being taught that if they will be baptized, then their original sin will be washed away. But what saith the Scripture? That's not the case. And so they go there to preach the truth, to preach the gospel. Because God has made a promise. And that promise is for each and every person that places their faith and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary, the promise is that the righteousness of Christ will be imputed unto them. You follow me? Amen? Amen? Are you with me? Okay, come on now. Stay with me. You all seem a little tired this morning. I'll make you stand. I'll preach you all standing up. So that's the message here. But it goes beyond that. All through the scriptures, you see God make promises, and believers by faith trust those promises. And we see it in the life of Abraham. So on my heat up, my first point, listen, faith promise is found throughout the scriptures, not only here what we're looking at. Hebrews 11:1, one of the great verses in the scriptures, says that faith is the substance. Read it out loud with me. It's right on your handout, so you didn't have to turn there. Read it out loud, good and loud. Let's begin. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I don't trust in a blind faith. Faith that we have is not a blind faith. It's not a step in the dark. Our faith is based upon the promises of Scripture, the promises of God's Word. Faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. True, there are things, you and I have never seen Jesus, you and I have never seen heaven. We've just read about Jesus, we've read about heaven. But by faith, today, we place our trust in the person of Jesus Christ, who 2,000 years ago died on the cross, was paying for our sins, and promised us that if we would place our faith and trust in the finished work of the cross, that we would be saved. And if you're saved here this morning, you've done that. You came to understand that the promise is not by works. The promise is not a way to earn. We can't earn our way. We came to understand that that's not the promise. God never promised if you keep the Ten Commandments, you'll get to heaven. God never promised if you'll be baptized, you'll get to heaven. He never promised that. But He did promise if we'll place our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we'll be saved. Thus saith the Scriptures. Amen? So we know that. We understand that. Hebrews 6:13 on your handout says, "For when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." Listen, God made a promise to Abraham. And the Bible says that he swore by himself. God swore on his own name. There is no greater truth, there is no greater promises than the promises that God makes to you and I. For God, the Scriptures say, who cannot lie. You can take God's promises and stamp them, or as you know, the old saying is, take them to the bank. So read on again here now. We begin in verse 12. I have in my Bible in verse 12 the word faith, and I have in verse 13 I have the word promise, and I have a line drawn there. And the father of circumcision, verse 12, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps, that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. I've just preached you. That's just what I've said. The promise isn't given to those that keep the law. The promise is given to those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. Paul said in the book of Galatians, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It taught us that we needed to put our faith and trust in Christ. For if they which are of the law, verse 14, be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. The law brings condemnation. But faith in Christ brings salvation. Therefore, verse 16, is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seed. So, in verse 12, I have the word faith underlined. In verse 13, the word promise. In verse 14, I have the word faith underlined. At the end of verse 14, I have the word promise underlined. Faith, promise. If it's not by faith and the promises of God, then everything is void. Verse 16, I have the word faith underlined and the word promise underlined. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure. That word sure, that means it's fixed. It's certain. It's immovable to all the seed, to all that believe. Then in verse 17, there was a promise made to Abraham. Of course, when the promise was made, his name was called Abram. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now look up here for a minute. So you remember when, way back in the book of Genesis when this took place, Abraham, when the promise was made to him, how many children did he have? Somebody tell me. He had none. In fact, at that time, his name was Abram, the father of many. And then God changed his name, didn't he, to Abraham, the father of a great multitude. And I've often thought of the talk that must have went on in Abraham's family when Abraham announced to all of his family that God has spoken to me and by faith I've trusted that God is going to give me a child. In fact, God has said I'm going to be the father of many nations, of a great multitude. In fact, so much so that God has changed my name from the father of many to the father of a great multitude. Well, all through those years, the family must have said, boy, they sure picked the wrong name for Abram. And now, all of a sudden, he says to us that he's going to be the father of many nations. Well, you know what made the difference? The difference was that Abraham, by faith, believed the promise of God. That's what made the difference. It's the same promise, it's the same faith when God said to Abraham, I want you to leave everything behind, and I'm going to show you a land and a place that I have for you. He didn't tell him specifically where, but Abraham believed God, the Bible says, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He just believed God. He had faith in God. So number one, faith promise, not only here, but all throughout the Scriptures, you'll see it's scriptural. But faith promise, beyond, obviously with regards to salvation, faith promise teaches dependence upon God. But our entire life as believers is based upon faith promise. Verse 18, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So Abraham learned, and you and I need to learn, that faith promise in the Scriptures teaches us that our dependence is upon God. Whether we're talking about being saved, or whether we're talking about missions, or everything and anything else in life. The Scriptures say, three times in the New Testament, and once in the Old Testament, many of you know this verse, say it out loud with me, the just shall live by... Well, faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So if the just shall live by faith, faith in what? Faith in God, faith in His Son, faith in the Holy Spirit, faith in the Scriptures and the promises of God. That's how we live our lives. The just shall live by faith in all that we do. And so we're dependent upon God to be saved, not upon the works of the law, not upon our own good works, but we're dependent upon God to live each and every day of our life. That's how it's supposed to be. And when God said to Abraham, you're going to have a son in your old age, Abraham was dependent upon God. And what happened when Sarah was told? Do you remember what Sarah did? She laughed. And how could this possibly be? My womb is dead. God is going to have to bring life to a dead womb. But the Bible says that they staggered. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. It was against all the arguments of sense, all the arguments of reason, all the arguments of human experience. It was all against him. But Abraham believed in hope. Abraham believed in God. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, because strong faith says, with God all things are possible. Weak faith says, it's just impossible. Strong faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Weak faith says, I don't think we can do this. But see, that's faith promise. It's dependence upon God. And so when we talk about faith promise and we talk about missions and missions giving, it's you and I, yes, praying and asking God, God, what part do you want me to have in helping the missionaries get to the foreign field? But I do that fully understanding that in order for me to have a part in that, I must be completely dependent upon God to make it happen. And so that's why sometimes people say, I just don't know how I can do this. You know, I've got this and I've got this and I've got this to take care of and this bill. And you've missed it already. Once you start focusing in on what you have and you're not focusing on God who owns everything, you've missed the whole point. Like everything else in life, we're to be dependent upon God. As Abraham was. The scriptures say, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's the question. Do you believe God? Do you believe that missions? Do you believe this morning that the heartbeat of God is missions? We sing about it. We read about it. We hear about it. But to believe it means to be part of it. And to understand that for it to happen, you must be dependent upon God. As Abraham, by faith, was dependent upon the promise of God, and he staggered not at that promise, but was strong, the Bible says, in faith. And so we see that faith promise, it's scriptural. We see that faith promise, it is a dependence upon God. And so as your pastor, I come to you and I say, are you praying? I hope you are. Are you asking God, God, what part would you have me to have in faith promise, missions giving, and understanding that to do so, you must be dependent upon God to provide that need. Well, let's read on, because it brings us to the last point of the message, that faith promises between the individual believer and God. This promise right here was between Abraham and God, Abraham and Sarah and God. Verse 20 again, so he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had promised, God, that he had promised, he was able also to perform. He was persuaded that God was going to do this. This was between him and God. Listen, everything about our faith is personal. We begin our journey of faith when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. As our faith increases, so does our relationship with the Lord. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Our faith is personal. We're always learning about a personal relationship with the Lord. And we should be talking about a personal relationship with the Lord. But the promises that God has made are personal between you and your God. And so he was persuaded. Are you persuaded? It's great to say, boy, I'm glad that we can support missionaries. But are you persuaded that God wants you and God will enable you to have a part in that?
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.